I read a couple interesting facts today. I read that last year, 2005, the average American ate 16.7 pounds of turkey. Can you believe that? The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds. Can you imagine a turkey that big? I'll bet some of you weigh 86 pounds. That turkey would eat you alive. Do you know that it says that turkeys' heads change colors when they become really excited? Some of you guys actually, that happens to you sometimes too, huh? 675 million pounds of turkey are eaten each Thanksgiving in the United States. The United States turkey growers raised 256,270,000 turkeys last year. The turkeys produced in 2005 together weighed 7.2 billion pounds and were valued at $3.2 billion. So it gives all these facts. I thought this one was interesting. Turkeys can actually have heart attacks, believe it or not. It says that the United States Air Force was doing test runs and they were breaking the sound barrier. And turkeys nearby, have you guys ever heard like a big sonic boom when a plane flies by, breaks the sound barrier? Well, every time that they would fly by and break the sound barrier, some turkeys would drop dead because they had heart attacks. Can you believe that? That's one way to kill your dinner, right? And believe it or not, the first meal on the moon was turkey. Very nice. So you guys, tomorrow, you guys get to eat a historic meal. But thankfully, we have a lot more to be thankful for tomorrow than ham and turkey and mashed potatoes. Because I don't know about you guys, but you know, you guys know I love to eat. And I'll eat and I'll eat and I'll eat. But usually by the end of Thanksgiving, I'm walking around like this. Oh, oh, you guys know the feeling, right? Moaning, and because I ate so much food, right? And eventually, the turkey, you kind of get tired of it. Especially 3 weeks later when your mom's still making leftover casseroles with the turkey, you know? Like, hey guys, come to the breakfast table. We got turkey waffles today, you know? Or like turkey soup or turkey casserole or ham shakes, yeah, or whatever, right? All this stuff. So eventually you get tired of it. Next Thanksgiving comes around, you love it, you eat it, it's great. Well, thankfully we have something so much more to be thankful for. A lot of things. And hopefully your minds will kind of be running on some of that tonight, thinking about some things you can be thankful for. Even tomorrow, as you guys gather around a big table, maybe get together with family or friends or whoever, thinking about things that you can be thankful for. But I want to remind you guys that that should not be just one day a year on Thanksgiving or a couple days before Thanksgiving. That should be our lifestyle. In fact, some people have called it Thanksgiving. And I love that idea of Thanksgiving, that our daily life should be lived out in thanks to God and everything He's done for us. So tonight, on Wednesday nights, we've been doing this series called Chicks Who Rocked It. We've been learning about girls in the Bible. Some good examples, some bad examples. We've learned from quite a few so far. Tonight we're going to learn from a woman named Hannah, okay? So turn in your Bibles, if you're not there already, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here. Basically, it starts off telling us in chapter 1, verse 1, that there's a guy, tells us where he lives. His name's Elkanah, all right? Verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Follow along with me. It says, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. It's a nice name, huh? Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 4, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So We learn right there that there's a guy, for some reason he's married to two women, and one is named Peninnah, one's named Hannah. Peninnah has kids, Hannah can't have kids. And this is a big deal back in the day. Even today, but especially in Bible times, to not be able to have kids, you were almost looked upon as an outcast. People would think that there must be something wrong with you if you can't have kids, that you're an outcast, that Nobody would want to marry you if you can't have kids. So this is a big deal. And it says in verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So this is a pretty big deal. Peninnah makes fun of Hannah all the time. Now, I would think if I were Hannah, I'd be making fun of Peninnah because of her name, you know. But for some reason, Peninnah is making fun of Hannah because she can't have kids. And it says this has been happening for years. It says year after year after year, they would make this journey, they would go to the temple, and Hannah would get so upset because Peninnah, it says, would provoke her to make her miserable. So she was miserable. She cried. She didn't eat. You guys know, for a lot of us, especially me, when I get sad, I eat, you know. This must have been pretty, she must have been really sad not to be eating. So here we go. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 says, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So she, year by year, it says, they make this journey. They head to the temple, they go up there, and she finally, she just says, fine, you know what? I need to give this to the Lord. And so she prays. She says, God, here's what I want. I really want to have a son. Please, she says, give me a son. And in essence, she says, I'll give him back to you. And we're going to see how she does that here in just a minute. Skip all the way down to verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. And then skip down to verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. And if you continue reading on in chapter 2, we'll read a couple of those verses here in a few minutes. But verse 11, it says, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So check out what's going on here. This is a big deal. Hannah can't have kids. Peninnah makes fun of Hannah. Hannah, year after year after year, is so sad. She's crying. She's just torn up inside because she can't have a kid. And so she finally gives it to the Lord. She prays. God remembers her, it says. He answers her prayer. She has a son. She names him Samuel. She raises him, makes sure that he is healthy. And then, 1 year, she and Elkanah, her husband, go up to the temple. They bring all these animals and these offerings with them, and they present Samuel to the Lord, and they leave him at the temple. Can you imagine what that must have been like? God has given her this son, and then one day she walks, she knows on their journey to the temple, this will be one of the last times that she gets to hang out with her son. This beautiful gift of a child that God has given to her, she is going to give him back to the Lord. And so, now this isn't like she offered him up as a sacrifice, okay? It's nothing gory like that. But they got to the temple, and I don't know how it all happened, but I can imagine there were some tears probably. And Hannah probably got down on her knees and began to explain to Samuel, "Samuel, you are a gift to me from the Lord. And now, because I love you and because I love God, I am giving you back to God." And so because of her love for the Lord, she presented her son back to the Lord. And it says in verse 11 that Elkanah and the rest headed back home, and the child ministered to the Lord with Eli. This is a big deal. And you know what's interesting to me is that God had given her this gift, but I don't think her joy was completely fulfilled until she could give that back to the Lord. That's an amazing thing to me. And you know what? I was thinking about this idea because a lot of the things that God gives us are kind of ironic. It's interesting to me. Couple examples. He gives stuff to us, but a lot of times it's best when we give it back. For instance, Ephesians 2 says that we have been given life in Jesus Christ. But you know what Romans chapter 12 tells us? It says to present our lives as a sacrifice to the Lord. So the fulfillment of this gift is when God has given it to us and we give it back to Him. Isn't that amazing? Another example, we've been given different spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it. But who cares if you've been given an ability or a gift if you don't ever give it back to the Lord? Not that you quit using it, but that you give it to the Lord by using it. If God has given you an ability, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatever you do, do it to God's glory." It says, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I don't know about you guys, but I get excited that I can eat to God's glory, right? Isn't that pretty sweet? That's pretty nice, right? But we've all been given different things, different abilities. We got an awesome worship team up here tonight. You guys have so many different abilities that you guys can do. But you can't keep it to yourself. A gift is about giving. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. 1 Corinthians 6 says that our bodies are not our own. They've been given to us by God. And by the way that we live, we should be giving those back to the Lord. Think about this. God created worship. It wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. He created angels in heaven to worship Him. He's given us that gift. But the only way it works is if we give it back to Him by worshiping. You can do that in a lot of ways. You can lift your hands, you can clap, you can sing. I'm not very good at singing, but I try anyways. And I believe God loves it when I try. And I know the same for you guys. So God loves these things that He's given to us, but a lot of times they're not fully fulfilled until we give them back to Him. And that's amazing to me because that's exactly how it was for Hannah. She was given this gift of a child, but it wasn't really fulfilled until she gave it back to the Lord. And that's an amazing thing to me. You know, sometimes God has, a lot of people have a case of mistaken identity with God. Maybe you guys have mistaken somebody's identity. You know, a lot of people think that God is like this bully. And He's just up in heaven waiting to zap us with a lightning bolt, you know? You guys ever heard people talk like that? Like, "God, I can't believe, you know, He's so mean. He's just into rules, you know? He just wants to make my life hard," is what a lot of people think. I was reminded of this week. Tiffany was at the, how many of you guys went to Switchfoot? Anybody go on Monday? Cool. Very nice. Well, Tiffany went to Switchfoot. Driving home Monday night, Jen and I, we're in bed or something, and Jen decides to call Tiffany. She's out of nowhere. She felt like she needed to call Tiffany. So I'm kind of listening in on the conversation a little bit. Jen answers the phone. "Hey, Tiff, how's it going?" Tiffany's crying on the other end of the phone. I was like, "Oh, no, what's going on?" Turns out that Tiffany's license plate had gotten stolen off the back of her car, and they replaced it with a license plate from a stolen car, all right? So Tiffany's driving home, and a police officer spots the stolen plates, runs it in his little computer, and is like, "Finally, we got the stolen car." So he calls in backup, okay, and pulls Tiffany over. Four police cars pull up, guns drawn, and they're saying over the loudspeaker, "Put your hands where we can see them." And she's like, I don't know what to do. I didn't do anything, you know, freaking out. They're like, they're telling her to like take her keys out, put them on the roof where she can't get to them. And she's like, oh no, you know. So finally they figured out, like, that little blonde girl did not steal that car, you know. Like, we obviously have some mistaken identity going on here. So thankfully, I didn't have to ask Tiffany to step down as being a leader, since she didn't end up in jail. That's good. And I'm glad she didn't get handcuffed or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes we have these mistaken identities. The police obviously had a pretty big mistaken identity there. But you know what? Sometimes God has the same thing. Because a lot of people don't really believe that He loves us and that He loves to bless our lives. I love, we'll just read a couple verses of what Hannah said. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." She understands that God is into blessing. How many of you guys have eaten at Chick-fil-A recently? Anybody? It's a good place, right? If I could eat there every single meal, I would. I love it. You know what's funny about that place, though, that I've noticed that kind of sets it apart in my mind from other places? The people there that work there are really nice. And one thing that is different that they say all the time, I don't know if you guys have noticed when you eat there, but like, you know, "Hey, I need a refill." They fill it up. I say thank you, and they say, "My pleasure." It's not "you're welcome." It's not like, "Oh yeah, no problem." It's "my pleasure." Now, I think that they're probably supposed to say that, you know, and I don't know if all of them really think, "It is my pleasure to refill your root beer," you know. I don't know if all of them really think that, but it kind of sets the place apart in my mind, because I think, "Well, that's interesting. They said my pleasure. I don't remember the last time I heard that." But you know what's funny to me is that I think if we were to tell God thank you, He would say, "My pleasure." Because I really believe God is pleasured. God receives pleasure by pleasuring us, by allowing us to see how faithful and how wonderful He is. And now don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that God's just going to hook you up with a Lexus when you become a Christian, okay? Life's not always going to be easy. Because you know what? Sometimes God's love comes in the form of discipline. Sometimes He has to remind us, "Hey guys, what are you doing? I've got things under control." And He has to remind us of things like that. Sometimes He does that. And sometimes life isn't always easy. But God loves to remind us. And I believe that if we were, one day when we get to heaven, we say, "God, thank you." He just say, "Hey, my pleasure. The pleasure was all mine. I love you guys that much." So don't mistake God's identity for somebody who just wants to set up rules and make laws. That's not God. He gives us those rules and those laws so that we don't go too far from Him. God knows that the best thing for us is to stay right where we should be with Him. Sometimes that's a pretty hard thing to do. But God knows that we need some boundaries, don't we? Just like your dog, you couldn't just let him run all over Albuquerque. You'd end up roadkill or something, you know? That's why you lock him in the backyard. That's why when you take him for a walk, you have a leash. It's not because you hate your dog. It's because you love your dog. It's because you call him kisses and you let him lick your mouth, you know, and that creeps other people out, but you're okay with it, you know. You love your dog. It's not because you hate him that you lock him up. It's because you know that that's the best thing for him. Couple reminders. I want you guys to think of some things that you guys can be thankful for. Just right now. Thanksgiving is always an awesome time to kind of think about things that you can be thankful for. I constantly think, every time I see Jen, I think of how thankful I am that God has given me Jen, but also God has blessed us with the little baby. It's on the way in just actually 2 weeks from today. And the cool thing is, I've never shared this with you guys, but about a year ago, it was a few months before Jen got pregnant, she was diagnosed with a disease. And my aunt has the same disease. She got it about 25 years ago. And when my aunt got it, the medical world wasn't quite as advanced in that field as it is today. And she had to make a decision whether or not they were going to have kids. And so Jen was diagnosed with this disease, and we thought that we were going to have to decide whether or not we were going to have kids, or whether or not we were going to be able to. Thankfully, God allowed us to. And then we, down the road, we thought Jen had gotten pregnant. She went to the doctor, and they told her that she was pregnant, that she had been pregnant, and she had lost the baby. And we were kind of shocked. We had no idea why that happened, how that happened, and we were thinking, man, God, maybe there's going to be complications, but we're ready whenever you're ready, you know? And we presented it to the Lord, I think, very similarly to how Hannah did. And just a few weeks later, we found out that Jen was pregnant and that God had allowed it to continue. I have no idea how that works, but God does. God's got it all under control. And the first verse we thought of when we heard that Jen had been pregnant and lost the baby was Job 1:21. You guys have probably heard it. It says that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we decided, well, if we have a boy, his middle name is going to be Job, because it's always going to remind us of the fact that God gives and God takes away. And we need to bless God no matter what happens in life. We need to be thankful for what God has done for us. Let me give you guys an interesting way to pray. I've done this before. You know, sometimes we sit down and we get so wrapped up in all of our problems and all of our needs. You know, those are good to tell to God. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says, tell God what you need. That's good. We need to do that. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in that, that we get worried, that we get kind of bummed out at life. You know what I've found out before? Sometimes when I just sit there and I just begin to thank God for all his incredible attributes, and I just sit there and I just say, God, thank you for being so faithful to me. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth, for giving up heaven to come to earth and die for me. Thank you for your love. And I just begin to pray those things. You know what I found out? That I quit worrying about stuff. When I realize how big God is, my problems just get so small compared to God. There's no need for me to worry. And I begin to realize that as I pray and I thank God for how incredible he is. You can write these psalms down if you'd like to. These are good ones. I was just flipping through my Bible today, looking for a few. But maybe sometime, just spend some time reading a psalm to God. Read it as the psalmist wrote it, but read it to God. It's pretty amazing. Psalm 47 is a good one. Psalm 65 and 66. Psalm 136. Those are just four out of 150 that you can choose from. There's lots of great stuff and ways that you can talk to the Lord to remind yourself of how thankful and how grateful you should be. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to, in just a minute, we're going to break up into groups and spend just about 5 minutes in prayer thanking God for all the great stuff he's done for us. But I want to ask you guys this. We learned a little bit about Hannah tonight. Kind of a way abbreviated lesson about her. But Hannah, her joy was fulfilled when God gave her a gift and she gave that gift back to God. So let me ask you this. What kind of gifts has God given you that you're holding on to for yourself? What are the things that you haven't given to the Lord? What things do you need to give to the Lord? Maybe those are in the form of gifts, but maybe sometimes those are kind of bad stuff that you're holding on to that you need to give to the Lord. You know what? Sometimes life blindsides us. We don't see it coming. We don't see the issues coming. People that we trust lie to us. People break our hearts at times. But God never does that. And so I want you guys to think about ways that you can be thankful, but also think about the importance of not just being thankful on Thanksgiving Day, but living a life of thanksgiving. And throughout the year, throughout your life, constantly reminding yourself of everything God's done for you. So we're going to do that right now. I want you guys to split up in small groups, maybe 5, 6, 7 people. Just, you can get on the floor, you can turn your chairs or whatever. Just spend about 5 or 6 minutes in prayer, and then we're going to have some worship, and we've got some more stuff after that. So let's just spend some time thanking the Lord in prayer.